Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 14, and we had just finished reading verses 4 through 6, and we were talking about the animals that God considered to be clean for the Israelites to be able to partake of. And one of the things that we had talked about was the fact that they were allowed to eat any animal that had split hooves and chewed the cud. So both requirements to be considered clean. And we were making a correlation, the Holy Spirit was making the correlation between this old covenant law and new covenant principle, which I appreciate, and what God considers to be clean, what we are to partake of. And the last thing that was spoken, if I'm correct here, was the Word of God is clean and acceptable, that we are to partake of every day. Give us this day our daily bread, our spiritual bread here, that we are to partake of. And the other thing I couldn't help but think about was how, from my perspective, this points to Jesus, in that God determined His Son through His sinless life, His blood and His body were clean for us to partake of. And there are some religions out there that want to use what Pete just mentioned in the first session, take just a percentage of what God says is acceptable. There are religions out there that will recognize Jesus as a prophet. They'll recognize that He existed. But what God says is it can't be, as Pete said earlier in the first session, this isn't a 50-50 thing. This is not partial. You only partake of what I deem to be clean and acceptable. You see where we're coming from with this?
Questions?
Yes, sir. Are you on?
How about now?
Yes, sir.
In the sixth chapter of John, he says, Jesus said to the multitude that you had to eat His flesh and drink His blood. And we understand that He said, the words I speak to you, spirit, their life. So He's talking spiritually. He's not talking naturally. And, in dealing with the devil, when he was tempted, the devil was tempted to turn a stone into bread. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so what you're seeing in the old covenant is type, shadow, okay? That's pointing to the new covenant. This is pointing to Jesus. So God makes distinction under the old covenant, says this is what's clean, this is what's unclean. In the new covenant, Jesus is what's clean, and anything that's not Him is unclean. You follow me? And so we have to take Him in. You know, John, the first chapter talked about in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14th verse, it says the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. And so when we're taking the Word of God in us, it's what God approves of. You understand that God approves of Jesus. It's not your works. It's His work that God gives His approval on, okay? And so we're to eat that. And I'm talking spiritual food. The Old Testament's natural food. The New Testament's spiritual food. And a lot of people in the New Testament are trying to take natural things, you know, and saying, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you need to be a vegetarian, you need to be... All that is just somebody's personal opinion. It's not the Word of God. We are spiritual people. The new covenant is with spiritual people. The old covenant was with natural people. And so the new covenant is spiritual people. So the thing that he's showing us in the new covenant are spiritual principles. Our benefits and the promises, these things are spiritual things that we have to receive on the inside. And when we get these things on the inside, then it manifests on the outside in lifestyle, okay? And so, you know, we were talking just a few minutes ago how people are fed on a weekly basis, actually, how ministers feed people, but they don't feed them the Word of God. And so if you're not eating the Word of God, what you're being fed in the sight of God is not clean. You with me? But when you're presenting God's Word to people, you're giving them a kosher diet. You understand? You're giving them food that God approves of. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so it's extremely important that we watch what we eat spiritually. People will watch what they eat naturally, but they don't watch what they eat spiritually. You understand? You wouldn't think about eating poison naturally. Or I hope you wouldn't. You wouldn't think about it alone. But people will just constantly take in spiritual poison. Things that aren't in agreement with the Word of God. Things that actually deny the Word of God. And Jesus told the religious people of his day that their tradition made God's Word ineffective in their life. They chose tradition over the Word of God. That's unclean versus clean. You're choosing the unclean over the clean. And so I want you to see the principle in this, that this is pointing to what God approves in the Spirit. God approved of this naturally with us. We're not under law. Thank God. Jesus fulfilled the law. And I don't think people have understood that. He fulfilled it. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. And once it's fulfilled, there's no use in us trying to fulfill it. So what we do is put our faith and confidence in Him and take Him in on a regular basis. He's to be our diet. And we do that by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, our spiritual drink, if you will, okay?
Verse 7, as we continue in this vein. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, and the hare, and the coney. They chew the cud, but divide not the hoof, therefore they are unclean unto you. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass.
So it's not a little bit of agreeing with Jesus. It's 100% agreeing with Jesus.
Yeah.
You understand? It's amazing to me how denominations take partial truths. And they build their whole doctrine, their whole denomination around a partial truth. And the truth of the matter is that most of them, evangelical, they have a truth. But if you take that truth and you just take that to an extreme and you shut these others off, you'll get in error. And we have to embrace all of the Word of God. We have to look at the truth of this one, the truth of that one. And I'm telling you, the dividing line today is the Holy Spirit. People want to reject the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself said he was sending the Holy Spirit to us. I was looking today in Acts chapter 1 and 2. The various times talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus giving commands by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus' ministry was out of the Holy Spirit. He was ministering by the Spirit. And when how God spoke by the Spirit. When Jesus would say something to somebody, he was speaking by the Spirit. How the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, operated through him. When he could know what they're thinking, it's word of knowledge being revealed to him, which comes out of the Holy Spirit. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, these men, they believed in Jesus. These men had walked with Jesus. They knew Jesus as well as you could know him naturally, you understand. They had operated in his name. They had cast out devils. They had preached. They had healed the sick. You understand? And he says to them, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. Now, isn't that amazing? They had operated with authority, but they didn't have the power to be the witness that he wanted them to be. You follow me? And so people who do that deny and don't want to take all of Jesus are having, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God, is the way the Scripture says it, okay? And so many are doing that very thing. And so when you stand up and you go contrary to the Word of God, you're feeding people poison. You're feeding them unclean stuff. And that's really what this stuff is pointing to. This is clean. This is unclean. There are some that meet half of the requirement, but they don't meet all the requirement. No, it has to be all the requirement. You understand? We have to meet all of God's requirements. God's requirement is Jesus. You accept him so he can immerse you into the Holy Spirit. You understand? John said there's one coming after me mightier than I. I'm baptizing with water. He's going to immerse you into the Holy Spirit. And so before Jesus ascended back into heaven, what did he say? I won't leave you as orphans, comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit. I'll send the Comforter, and he defines him as the Spirit of truth. Okay? You have to take him. You have to take him. You can't say, well, I've already got it. And a lot of people say, well, when I accepted Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit. No, you don't. You were baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Read Acts 2:38. Afterwards, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you have to receive it. You with me? And without me going in and just doing a lot of teaching on the Holy Spirit, I just wanted to bring this out to show you what God calls clean and what God calls unclean. If you're not giving the full, unadulterated Word of God, it is not clean in the eyes of God. We have to give all the truth, not part of the truth. Jesus said, you have to eat all of it. You have to eat all of it. You know what happened when he said that? The multitudes turned around and walked away. You know what he said? He didn't try to get them to come back. He just turned to his own apostles. You want to go too? This is the standard. And you're going to have to live by the standard. This is what God says. This is what you'll have to do. I'm telling you, embrace all of God. You take this Word of God. This is clean. This is a good diet. This will give you the spiritual nutrients that you need to carry out the will and purpose of God for your life. Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead and add to it.
Don't you love it how the Holy Spirit was bringing all this to life for us? Thank the Lord. Verse 9. These you shall eat of all that are in the waters. All that have fins and scales shall ye eat. And whatsoever hath not fins and scales, you may not eat. It is unclean unto ye.
So he includes aquatic animals as well, okay? Yeah. So if it has fins and scales, you can eat it. If it doesn't have fins and scales, you can't eat it. It's unclean. Now, here's what amazes me with people that want to get on this bandwagon of you can't eat red meat, you can't do this, you can't do that. Yet they'll eat lobsters and crab legs and all this kind of stuff. Well, they don't have fins and scales. You understand, it's the double standard. And here again, we're not talking about food, natural food. And under the law, it was natural food because they were natural people. But under the new covenant, we're talking about spiritual food and spiritual people and what you pray over and declare that God created that and I'm setting that apart as health and nourishment to my body. It will do my body good, not evil. The Bible says that that's nothing to be refused. You've set it apart by the word and prayer. But what you take in spiritually is what God says is clean. You understand? What God declares is clean. And here again, everything's going to go back to Jesus. It's going to go back to the word of truth and the spirit of truth. So don't eat anything that's not agreeing with both word and spirit. Word and spirit. If your doctrine won't bear witness, if the Holy Spirit, let me say it this way, won't bear witness to your doctrine, you may be quoting some scripture out of context. You may have part of it, but you don't have all of it. You make sure it matches both.
And how do you make sure it matches? You get in and you read it for yourself and you don't depend on somebody else to tell you. And you rely on the Holy Spirit within you. And if you haven't been baptized into the Holy Spirit, you get before the Lord and you start reading in Acts and you start searching out about who He is and what He does for us. Verse 11. Of all clean birds ye shall eat, but these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle and the ostrich and the osprey and the gleed and the kite and the vulture after his kind, and every raven after his kind, and the owl, and the nighthawk, and the cuckoo, and the hawk after his kind, and the little owl, and the great owl, and the swan, and the pelican, and the gyre eagle, and the cormorant, and the stork, and the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat.
Here again, he's covering all bases of what they would eat, whether it's animals, whether it's fish, or whether it's birds. And all this is doing is making a distinction between people being dedicated to God and people following the ways of the world under the Old Testament. And the same principles apply here that apply the spiritual principles I'm talking about. These things are pointing to clean and unclean in the sight of God spiritually. And something that interests me when you look at these birds, you're looking at vultures. You're looking at birds of prey. These are unclean to you. Now, I could go off on a tangent with that and listen to how many messages of birds of prey and vultures that are wanting to feed off of refuse or feed you garbage. I just saw something. May have been last night or today, one, I can't remember. Anyway, a leading minister saying, tithe is a lie. Now, no, I'm not making this up. And so what is that doing? It's telling you something that is going to feed your flesh, that you don't have to do this. And as we go on a little further, I'm going to get into that a little bit more. Okay. But this is the type of thing I'm talking about, feeding you poison. Feeding you poison. Eat the clean. eat the clean. You eat what God says, not what man says God says. You eat what God says. And you won't know what God says until you go in and let God start talking to you instead of letting somebody else tell you God says this. You with me? And so, I don't care if it's us or anybody else. You're under obligation to go into the Word of God and find out if it's true. Otherwise, you may be eating some unclean stuff. You may be eating roadkill. You got that message, right?
Yeah.
That's what buzzards eat. And there's a lot of buzzards in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You better move on.
Yes, sir. Verse 19. And every creeping thing that flieth is unclean unto you. They shall not be eaten. But of all clean fowls ye may eat.
Leave the bugs alone. That's simple enough.
Yes.
Whether it's natural or whether it's spiritual. Leave them alone.
Amen. Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is in thy gates, that he may eat it. Or thou mayest sell it unto an alien, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk.
Now, this verse interests me in that you can't eat this. If it dies of itself, you can't eat it. But the foreigners, he can. So it's not that the meat itself is detrimental to you per se. God's not trying to kill a foreigner with poison. God's making a distinction. You can eat this. You can't eat that. You have to stay separated. Now, the foreigner, he can eat that, but you can't. You understand? The world can eat stuff you can't eat. You with me?
Yeah.
God says, I want you to be different. Mm-hmm. I want you to be distinctly different. And really, that's what, when it talks about a holy people, that's what holy is about. It's about being distinctly different than those around you, than the world. You're different. You live by different standard. And really, that's what this is all about. This is your standard. This is the world's standard. Don't lower yourself to the standard of the world. You raise yourself up to the standard of God. And you let God be the standard. You let God be the measuring rod for what you do. Okay?
Amen. Verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year.
Okay. So the Israelites, by law, were required to tithe all the annual. What's annual? Is that every year?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make that clear. That is every year, okay? The increase of the grain. In other words, every harvest tithe to the Lord. And tithe, by definition, is 10%. You can't tithe 9%, you can't tithe 11%. Tithe is 10%, okay? That's just a standard. Now, a lot of people say, well, tithes under the law. Well, Abraham paid tithes, what, 430-some years before the law.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob tithed. Tithe was incorporated into the law. It was before the law, okay. Now, there's a reason for the tithe. The tithe is for your benefit. People think if you tithe, you're taking, it takes money away from you. But it's actually giving back to you, and I'm going to show you this as we go along, okay?
Okay. Verse 23, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always.
So, Note that the Israelites were to eat of the tithe of the grain. In other words, you take this and you give it to the Lord. You're eating, but what's that doing? It's also feeding the Levites and the priests, you understand. But when they would offer that, they get part of it, and others get part. So it has a national effect, if you will, okay? And so I believe that it's extremely important to tithe. Now, people say, well, you don't see that in the New Testament. Well, I do, but you don't. Because it doesn't say, all right, church, give 10%. No, Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it will be measured back to you. You give, you want God to give to you? You give to God. Because here's what he's saying. How you receive will be proportionate to how you give. So you want to withhold? Then don't complain if you're in lack. If you haven't been blessing God, then why would you think God would bless you? And to me, the tithe is like the seed given to the sower. This is what you have to sow that will guarantee you a harvest. Okay? But we're not just to stop with tithes. See, they don't talk about offerings. But Malachi, the third chapter, God says, you've robbed me. Well, how did we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. And so what's an offering? An offering is something given above the tithe. And so the New Testament church should be given more than 10%. The New Testament believer should be given more than 10%. I don't want to be stingy with God. You understand? I'm not going to hold myself to just limiting giving 10% to God. I'm going to give God more than 10%. And if you look at the 7th chapter of Hebrews, he's talking about Melchizedek and how Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. He's not talking about law then. He's talking about a type of Christ. And how Abraham was actually giving tithe to the type of Christ. Well, if he gave it to the type of Christ, should we not be giving it to Christ? It's just how you want to interpret it. And see, if you want to keep your money for yourself, then you can do it to your own detriment. But if you want God to bless you, then give liberally. You see, Paul said it this way, who sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully, reaps bountifully. With the same measure you sow, that's how you're going to get. And so, when he's saying, here, dealing with the tithe, then what he's saying to do is obey God. You give God first, and you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. And I know that for an absolute fact. Okay? I know it works. Well, I can't afford to get. You can't afford not to. If you're saying, I can't afford to give, why is it? You've withheld from God. You're withholding from God. How's God going to bless you if you're holding back from God? Don't want me to shut up. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth about this thing. Then a farmer in his right mind that would try to go out and reap a field when he hasn't sown seed. You understand? And we ought to be smarter than that. And so we sow. What are you doing? You're giving to the Lord. Well, I thought I'd put it in the offering plate. Well, if all you do is put it in the offering plate, then you're missing the point. That's how you give to the Lord. You go where His name is. See, a lot of people are wasting their money putting it in places that God's name's not even on the place. That's like sowing seed in concrete. No, you take it where God's name is. If you want to return, give it to God. Not the church, not some charitable organization. Give it to God. Don't give it to the preacher. Give it to God. You understand? And whatever the leadership of the church does with it is between him and God. Why don't pay my tithes? Because I don't like the way they're spending the money. That's not your call. You're giving to God. See, you already have your motive wrong. You're not thinking about giving to God. You're thinking about giving to some organization. No, you give to God. And I'll let God deal with the people. You understand? They don't have to give an account to me. They do have to give an account to God. No, that's just a little portion on tithe. That's not nearly all could be said about it, okay?
Verse 24. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art able to carry it, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
I don't like that word lusteth. It should be longeth. Whatever your soul desires.
That's good.
Lust carries a wrong connotation there. It's almost like coveting something.
Yeah.
No, it's what your heart would desire. So, if you take this to the temple, okay, the place where God's name was. Mm-hmm. All right, if it's a long journey, maybe that's too long to be carrying your cow, your goat, your sheep, or whatever. Sell it, get the money, then go to where the city, Jerusalem, for instance. You go where God is. It started out in Shiloh, okay? And so you go there, and then you take that money, and you buy, if you want to eat beef, buy beef. If you want to eat mutton, buy sheep, whatever. And then take it before the Lord. And you're doing this in the presence of the Lord. You're honoring the Lord with your tithe. But isn't it interesting that you're getting to eat it? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
God's using it to bless you, but you're giving it to God. You give to God, God gives back to you. Isn't that amazing? And I know that to be true as well. And so be sure that God's name there. He said, here's what's going to happen. God's going to be pleased, and you and your family's going to be pleased as well because you're doing it God's way. We've got to learn as a New Testament church to do things God's way,
mm-hmm.
not man's way. All these religious ideas are fabricated by people. They come up with these ideas. They sit and imagine how they can do this. How can we generate more revenue?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've sat in the meetings and heard this stuff. You understand? How can we generate more revenue for the church? God didn't call us to generate revenue for the church. God hadn't called me to raise money for the church. It's not even my church. Jesus is building his church. You understand? So that means he's responsible for the bills. Right? And if his name is there, and you're honoring his name, and you're being obedient to him, he will see to it that that is taken care of. As a matter of fact, there was a point in time, well, just like with Moses building the tabernacle, y'all going to have to stop giving. We have more than we need. I bet you've never heard a preacher say that. No, God, if we do it God's way, then it'll be taken care of. You'll be taken care of. God will be taken care of. And this is all about getting the kingdom of God established on earth. See, he was wanting to establish his kingdom on earth through Israel. But Israel wouldn't cooperate. Now in the new covenant, he's establishing his kingdom on earth through the church, the body of Christ. Not religious church, the body of Christ. But the body of Christ has to cooperate and do things God's way for God to be ruling on earth. God has to rule in my heart. If I'm holding back from God, not given from to God, then His kingdom is not established in my heart. You follow me? And so we've got to get this kingdom established inside us to where we're doing it God's way. Israel needed to get those laws in their heart so they would do that whatever that law said to do. But they didn't do it. They may see it on stone, but they didn't get it in their heart. We've got to get it in our heart. It's more than just reading it in the Bible. It's got to get into your heart to where you can put it into practice. Otherwise, it's not doing anybody any good. And we're here to get the kingdom of God established on earth. One person at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Time's up, so I'm going to have to stop. We'll come back to this and our next session, okay? Well, I thank you that you bless us indeed. Gin large our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, you guys have a great rest of the week.